Hey, welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm a certified spiritual mentor, hypnotist, writer, integrative change worker, and life coach. I always say, this whole being human thing is kind of like an ongoing problem. So on this show, I tell everyday stories interwoven with spiritual principles, practical tools, and plenty of humor to help us transform from pain to peace, from wound to wisdom, from your story to your glory, and ultimately, from fear back to love. Welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm super duper excited to be here. And I got a little story to tell you. I always love when it's storytelling time. Okay. Get it together. All right. Here's the thing. I'm super duper excited to be here. Loyal listeners, I love you beautiful humans. Thank you so much. If you're new to this show, if you've never watched it before or listened to it before, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. And I'm always curious how you found me. Like, did a friend recommend it to you? Did they send you a little link? Did you happen to see it? I have this shiny spot right above my lip. It's making me crazy. Okay, and we're back. So maybe you were scrolling through the local cable access channels on Konkan TV and you saw me and you're like, who's this broad? And you were like checking it out. However you got here, I'm so happy you're here. And then we get to spend a little time together. I also want to point out for those of you that are watching, how cute is little Bob Ross over there? Ooh, I got this little like Bob Ross stuffy and he has this incredible, beautiful, like brown, fuzzy afro and he's holding this little paint palette in his hand. Oh my God, I just love him so much. So he's my buddy now. He hangs out back there and keeps an eye on things. Oh, so if you're listening to this show, you might want to just, you know, if you haven't seen him yet, he's worth taking a little gander. Okay. So this episode is called The Benefit of the Doubt, The Benefit of the Doubt. Now, I am sure you have heard that phrase before. It's a noun phrase. I'm sure you've heard it before. And I know what I think what that phrase means, but whenever I'm doing a show where I'm talking about something that is like kind of a part of the lexicon of the language of the people, I like to look it up and see what the dictionaries, you know, have to say. So Merriam-Webster says this about the benefit of the doubt. It says it is the state of accepting something or someone as honest or deserving of trust, even though there are doubts. For some reason, I find this so funny. Okay. The state of accepting something or someone as honest or deserving of trust, even though there are doubts. Now, I find that definition fascinating in and of itself, but I really am trying to keep myself from going down a rabbit hole. But I will say this. If we just look at this part of deserving trust, even though there are doubts. Well, if there are doubts, then what that tells me is there must already be some sort of a history somewhere. Because otherwise, either you're just a person who doesn't trust anybody, or somebody has given you enough proof that maybe they're not to be trusted. But I see how this shows up in the world so often, how we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. And so what I want to talk about today is the power, the benefit of giving it. Because as I'm going to tell you, it doesn't just affect the person giving the benefit, right? It doesn't just affect the person you're giving it to. It also affects you. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more. And of course, I have a story. So some of the places that it's wicked good to extend the benefit of the doubt and where you can practice doing it, 100% in human relationships, okay? If you are relating to another human being at all, and whether that is an intimate relationship like your partner, your sweetie, your lover, whoever, you know, your fiance, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, or your friendships, your family relationships, your siblings, whatever, your work, your coworkers, right? Relationships are a great place to practice this. But you know where else is a great place to practice this? When you're driving in the car. because never mind going from 0 to 60 by stepping your foot on the gas, right? I see so many people's emotions go from 0 to 60. Their anger, their frustration, their impatience, right? Boom. It does not take much to send some people right over the edge, right? And they get wicked angry, or they're like flipping people the bird, or they're like, you know, screaming or pounding their dashboard, whatever, like slamming on their steering wheel. Oh my God, it's giving me flashbacks of being a student at BU, Boston University. And back in the day when I was in college, oh man, my nervous system was so dysregulated and I had zero patience. And being in traffic made me mental. Like it made me so insane and so crazy. And I would literally be like slamming my steering wheel and like cursing up a storm. And like, I think back and I'm like, I was an insane person, but it was self-inflicted. Okay. Let me tell you the story. Let me tell you the story of why we're talking about this today. Okay. So the other day I'm driving in downtown Concord and I'm coming down the street and I get to this stop sign. Okay. Now I'm on one of these side streets that come down and it intersects Main Street. Okay. Now, if you're not watching this, I'm doing little hand signals to show you where I am. I wish I could, I should have drawn a little picture for you guys. But I'm gonna do my best to describe it. So I'm coming down the street and where some of the streets, so the way that the streets in downtown Concord work, it's like some are only one way coming up, some are one way coming down, like whatever. But I'm on a two-way street, so I'm not doing anything insane, but I'm on the right-hand side, which is where we drive in America. I'm at the stop sign, and there's a woman coming perpendicular, like across in front of me, and she's driving a car, and then she stops and pauses because I realize, oh, she wants to turn left and come up the street, like past me. Like she, you know, our driver's side windows would be side by side. But what she couldn't see, or she wasn't looking for, because first of all, she had her phone in her hand. I saw it. She wasn't really paying attention. Okay. So she wasn't necessarily paying attention to her own driving, but she also was not looking for what I could see from my perspective. Okay. So I pulled down, I'm at the stop sign. And there's a lot of parking on Main Street. So you can't always see the traffic that's coming if there's a big vehicle like packed in one of those parking spots. So even though I stopped at the stop sign, now I'm going left onto Main Street. She's turning left coming up the street that I'm on, but I can't see what's coming. So I have to keep inching out like just a tiny bit. My blink is on, I'm following the rules of the road, but I also don't want to like turn out into traffic too fast and then have somebody slam into me, right? So I'm just inching out, inching out, inching out. So again, she cannot see what I'm seeing from my point of view. There is a method to my madness. There is a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, but she can't see because she is clearly, now I can tell, right? I mean, the work that I do as a spiritual mentor, the work that I do as a yoga teacher, as a hypnotist, as a life coach, as a change worker, right? I'm always like watching people's like body language and I'm wicked sensitive to other people's energy. I don't even have to be in the same car with her. I could tell by the way that what her face was doing, what her shoulders were doing, right? And her tone of voice. Now, you might be asking yourself, dear listener or watcher, you might be asking yourself, KK, but you were in your own car. How could you tell what her voice sounded like? Well, let me tell you, because as I'm inching out, but not dangerously, I'm doing it wicked slow. Anybody who was at the stop sign with me could see probably like what I was doing and why, but not this person. So she takes, finally, she's sick of waiting, right? Because going left on Main Street can be tough, right? So finally she gets her left-hand turn. And apparently she does not approve of how far I have edged the nose of my car out into Main Street, which was not an obscene amount. It was just enough to keep me from getting harmed or hit or whatever. And so when she drives past me, it was kind of nice out, so my window was halfway down, but she rolls down her window and I hear her say, now listen, Listen, if you got little kids around right now, block their ears. I'm just giving you a warning. I'm giving fair warning, okay? So she drives past me and she gives me this look, like she gives me the look, right? And if you can see what shirt I have on today, right? I have my Mass Hole shirt on. I'm a kid from Lawrence, Mass. I'm a kid from Boston, okay? So I'm in the car and she drives past me. She shoots me a quick like look with like daggers. Now, give her credit. She doesn't flip me the bird. What she does instead is she calls me. This is what she says to me. She drives by and she says like into my window, "Fucking idiot." Okay. Now, the best part of this though is I thought that that was wicked funny. Like I literally started laughing. I was like, did she just call me a fucking idiot? Right? And I was like, oh my God. Now, old me, Vicky with 2 K's from Lawrence part of me back in the day, the stuff that probably would have come out of my mouth back to her, but I didn't. I just kind of laughed because I realized a couple of things very quickly. Why this was happening, her reaction. Now, there could have been a couple of reasons why, okay? Obviously, right? She didn't know me, okay? She didn't know me. So she made the assumption that I'm stupid, that I'm a terrible driver, okay? We have no relationship, right? That could have been a nice little, like, you know, 3-second relationship when she went by. She could have smiled at me. We could have had a much better relationship, but instead she hurled an insult at me, right? So she didn't know me. So she doesn't know that I am an intelligent human being, right? She didn't trust me. She clearly seemed impatient, inflamed, frustrated, whatever, 0 to 60, or maybe there was something going on in her own life. And I'll get to that in a second. But she definitely couldn't see what I could see. She could not see from my point of view. She could not see my angle. And we had different perspectives. And because we had different perspectives, she couldn't see why I was doing what I was doing, that I must have had a good reason for doing what I was doing. So she chose not to extend to me the benefit of the doubt. She decided instead to make an assumption and an accusation and then hurl an insult at me, assuming that I am, in fact, an idiot. Now, there's a lot of things you might be able to say about me. One of them that I'm not is an idiot. Now, there are certainly a lot of areas in my life where I don't, like, I'm not super tech savvy. Like, there's certain things that I'm like, yeah, da, da, da. But by and large, I don't think I'm stupid. I got called stupid a lot as a kid, but my grades reflected otherwise. My ability to survive my childhood in my life, and I went on to college and blah, 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 like might reflect otherwise. Now, I'm not saying I'm friggin' Einstein or anything like that, but I was like, wow, that was pretty aggressive, man. Okay, but here's the thing. Why I wanted to talk about giving the benefit of the doubt. When I started to break this down, right, the benefit of the doubt, it's really easy to think that you're the person who is somehow like the better person and you're extending this benefit of like the benefit of doubt. Like, even though I might doubt that, you know, I something is going on, I'm going to give you the benefit. I am going to bestow to you, right? Like you're the queen or the king. I'm going to bestow upon you my benefit. And we often think that we are, the benefit of the doubt is a courtesy to the other person. And, you know, the way that my brain works is I really love to play with words and language and flip things upside down and shake them and like see what comes out. Like I have so much curiosity about these things. And I started thinking about this and I said, wow, you know, even though we often think that giving the benefit of the doubt is for the other person, sometimes giving the benefit of the doubt can actually be better for us or you too. There's something really magical about this, because when we choose to extend positive intent, right? And I made a note to myself here, right? I said, when we assume positive intent and that somebody isn't just doing something just to be a dick, right? When we assume that there must be a good reason why a person is doing what they're doing, especially when we don't understand it, right? When we get a little flustered, we get a little upset, and it's like, bleh, bleh, right? And I'm like throwing up my hands and making funny sounds, right? We get like our panties in a bunch. And if we do not have a regulated nervous system, if we do not have any spiritual tools in our toolkit, if we do not have any practical tools to be able to calm ourselves down, right? Then we are going to be like launching these grenades of insults and impatience and hurry and discontent. And we think, oh, like I'm going to bestow this gift upon somebody else. But it's like, no, you give yourself the benefit of extending the doubt that you don't know what the fuck is going on, right? That woman had no idea what was going on. She could not see what I could see. And maybe if she had taken 30 seconds or whatever to just pause and go like, oh, that big truck is there. She's probably pulling out because she can't see past it. Like if she had just taken a second, but whatever was going on in her own life did not allow her to slow down her mind enough. And this is why the power of a daily spiritual practice, a DSP, is so important, because it helps us to show up as the kind of people that we like to think that we are, which is kind or compassionate or nice or empathetic or whatever. But when we're all jacked up, right? When we're all like worked up or stressed out or anxious or whatever, we're not able to see outside. And I'm making these little kind of like foveal vision. I'm making these little cups around my eyes. Like we can't, we lose our ability to expand our focus out. We lose our peripheral, right? And we get so like zoned in on them, like, they're doing something bad, wrong, like an idiot. You know what I mean? Okay. So this is what I said. When we can make the most generous assumption that we can, I love that word here, to be generous, and maybe assume that we don't have the whole picture. And I'm going to do a whole other podcast on perspective and why this is really important. Okay. Another way of saying this for me, this extending the benefit of the doubt, is that when we choose to see through the eyes of love, right? And I don't necessarily just mean like with our eyes, right? Even eye doctors will tell you that your eyes don't actually see. So in A Course in Miracles, you know, there's a line that basically say, we think that human eyes see and human ears hear, right? The reality of it is, if we even just put the spiritual to the side and we look at it just from a physical, a scientific standpoint, your eyeballs are not actually the thing that sees. The eyes take in the information. What really sees is the brain. The brain is the thing that interprets the information that is coming in through the windows, that is coming in through the eyes, that is gathering the information. It's the brain that sees. And if your brain has a history, right? We're going back to that thing that I said earlier, right? If the brain goes back to a history of, this person can't be trusted. People can't be trusted. People are stupid. Women are terrible. Drive, like whatever stories that we've got floating around up there in our old noggin is going to shape and influence the way that you're responding to the world around you. So if we can choose to see through the eyes of love, right? So to me, that's more kind of metaphysical, right? Than just physical. We can see through the eyes of love rather than fear, then we don't give too much credit to our ego's first and loudest reaction. So in A Course in Miracles, there's a line, I'm paraphrasing, that says basically, the ego speaks first and it speaks loudest. And I always add, and it's always wrong. Because the ego isn't actually choosing how it wants to show up. The ego is a reactionary, right? So love allows us to choose and to act from a place of our choosing. The ego is a reactor. I think that love stands for like love or fear. Love is an actor. It like love is the action of the heart. Fear is a reactor. from our history, from our stories, literally from our fears, from our trauma, from our past, from those unhealed places within us, you know? So when we extend the benefit of the doubt, our mental, our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual well-being also gets enhanced. Because when we go on the attack like that and we just choose to make other people wrong, when we aren't generous, when we choose instead to like try to attack them or cut them down or assume the worst of them, you know, and just think about like I'm sure you can go back to so many times in your life when you thought you knew what was going on. And then later you got a tiny bit more of information and you're like, oh my God, like you had just assumed the worst about somebody and their intentions and their actions and why they were doing a particular thing. When once you got a little bit more information, it was like literally like the, I don't know what that's called. Maybe the exposure on a lens, all of a sudden it goes, fwah. And it just opens up and so much more becomes possible. You know what I'm saying? So I was just thinking, like, how many times has our ego mind, rather than extend the benefit of the doubt, the ego mind loves to run around like a little. I love animals so much, and I just love them so much. It's why I've been one of the reasons why I've been vegan for like 20 years. And so many examples that we give, we use animals like in a negative light. So I was trying to think of like, what's a creature? Like magpies, I think, like collect, but I think that's cool. So I'm trying to think of a way to say this. But so the ego mind will just go around trying to collect little bits of evidence as to why somebody else is guilty, why somebody else is wrong, why somebody else is stupid or lazy or a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? The ego mind, when it is in its fear place, which is where it is the home of guilt and separation and scarcity and competition and all that stuff, right? That's the ego realm, right? It's the kooky monkeys, as I like to say, running around trying to grab all its evidence to prove that the other person is bad. But it doesn't stop at the other person. It will also run that racket on you if you are not careful. So can you please also extend to yourself the benefit of the doubt? You know, today I woke up this morning and one of the, after I did my DSP, you know, I do a couple of things for my daily spiritual practice. But the first thing that I did right after that, I had this thought in my head like, oh, did I take care of that thing? Did I pay that thing? And I'm like, I know it was on my calendar. I know that I left myself a reminder. So when I came upstairs here to my office, I checked my calendar and I was like, I saw it on my calendar from 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, I must have done it because I left myself a note. And then I went in and I checked and I was like, shit. Somehow it got past me, even though I saw the note. And I was like, the first thing I thought, and this is a habit, right? This is an ingrained immediate response from my ego. And if we're not vigilant for the quality of our thoughts, the quality of our words, the way we speak to ourselves, our internal voice, right? I'm pointing at my head and my heart. The way that we speak to ourselves first and foremost, but also how we speak to others. If we are not vigilant for the quality of our thoughts, words, and actions, we are going to suffer. So before I knew it, right, I recognized that I had made a mistake and I literally blurted out, you're such a fucking idiot. And I was like, nope. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I heard it and I caught myself and I was like, nope, we don't talk to ourselves like that anymore. Because I never talked to myself like that until an adult in my childhood started talking to me like that. And our little brains, when we're little kids, man, they absorb everything. You know, it's an interesting thing being a hypnotist. One of the things I often say that I use hypnosis to dehypnotize people from all the old stories, from all the old beliefs, from the old identity, from all the bullshit that they've got running around upstairs in their subconscious because of the things that we heard and were called repeatedly as children. You know, anything that is thought, anything that is thought, felt, like emotional, like that you feel it, anything that you think about, feel, and focus on and repeat enough times, it's as if it becomes real in your head. So when I caught myself saying that about myself, I stopped and I said, nope, we don't talk to ourselves that way anymore. And I said to myself, you are allowed to make mistakes and you are still lovable. You are allowed to make mistakes. Making a mistake doesn't make me stupid. I'm allowed to make a mistake and I am still lovable. I am still worthy of love, right? I'm not going to let that old racket keep running in my head. So I had to give myself the benefit of the doubt. Like, okay, you're allowed to make a mistake. It doesn't all of a sudden become some gospel truth about you across the board that you're like, as that woman called me, an idiot. You know what I mean? It was really, really, really important. And it says, I also wrote this. I want to make sure I said this. It really behooves us and our entire well-being. Right? It behooves us and our entire well-being benefits from not assuming the worst about people, including ourselves. Now, here's the caveat part of this, okay? This is important. It doesn't mean, though, extending the benefit of the doubt to others. So this is what I wanted to say. There is a benefit to us to doubt, right? There is a benefit to us to doubt our ego's first fear reaction, right? There's a benefit to that going like, hey, what's that about? Like, I'm making a lot of assumptions here. I don't really know this person, right? And it's like what happened with that lady in the car. She didn't know me. She didn't trust me. She didn't have any history about me. So she assumed the worst about me. Plus, she didn't have the right perspective. Well, she didn't say the right perspective. She didn't have my perspective. She couldn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. Okay. But I am not saying across the board, become a doormat, right? When somebody does something awful, just assume that they had good intentions. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying at all. It doesn't mean that you throw away your common sense. It doesn't mean that you throw away your discernment or your good judgment. Or like I said, you don't just become a doormat for people, right? Especially when there is enough evidence to the contrary, that maybe that person shouldn't be trusted. Maybe that person shouldn't be in that role. After enough times of you seeing a habituated thing or a repeated pattern, it might be wise to have a little doubt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying be a dream killer. I'm not saying put the kibosh on people's excitement about things. I'm not saying walking around being a negative Nelly. That's not what I'm saying. But there are times in life when we've gotten enough evidence where we go like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't trust that, or maybe I shouldn't invest my money there, or maybe I shouldn't, you know, trust that this car, which hasn't, you know, had a tune-up in 15,000, 20,000, whatever it is, you know, we have to be smart. Like, be a smarty pants, right? Like, do your homework, pay attention, right? Assess the situation. So we can still give the benefit of the doubt and not get walked all over and have people treating us like crap, right? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is there is a benefit sometimes to not just listening to that first fear reaction and instead, right? And again, using your breath, using a mantra, tapping, like there's all these different tools that we can use. Say a prayer, meditate, slow down, slow yourself down, slow down. There is a huge benefit, right? There is wisdom, as my teacher Ashwaran says, there is the wisdom of slowing down. Take your time so that you can assess from a place of love. And maybe it's important in that case to extend the benefit of the doubt versus always coming from a place of fear and reacting and spewing out things that you can't take back. You know, if I had maybe been in a different state of mind or I had been a different person altogether, a total stranger calling me that, especially, and this is why I thought it was so fascinating and how I know I've come such a long way, is that I got called those kinds of negative things, you know, when I was a kid, that if I hadn't done the work that I've done, you know, with myself, for myself, to heal a lot of my old stuff, that could have been really damaging for me. That could have, like, maybe not taken me out of the knees, but there are a lot of people who maybe that would have, like, really given them that final piece of evidence and proof that they needed to solidify their own self-loathing or their own self-hatred. Because if somebody had called a person an idiot or stupid or whatever enough times as a kid, and then a total stranger yells that out a window to them, some part of the brain, right, that younger part of you can easily say, even they, this person who doesn't even know me, like, thinks this. So look, it would also just behoove us to be kind. That's it. Just be kind, be kind, be kind. When you find yourself getting worked up into a tizzy, about to have a little conniption fit, you got your panties in a bunch, you're all worked up, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because someday, sometime, you're going to say or do something that you cannot take back, and it is going to have consequences. And always just keep your mind open to the possibility that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That you do not have all the facts, you do not have all the evidence, you do not have a broad enough perspective. And I'm going to save that for another episode to go into a little bit more deeply. So you guys, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me. It's always a pleasure to just kind of share the things that I'm thinking about. And always, you know, the whole heartbeat of this show is my desire to spread a little more love, to do a little storytelling, to share some spiritual principles, and to help us all just kind of move through this human experience with less suffering. You know what I mean? Just to navigate it with a little more grace and mercy and compassion and ease, and also with a sense of humor. So I hope this was helpful to you in some way. And if you're somebody who is not already on my mailing list, so I send out this podcast directly to your inbox, your email inbox, every Thursday. If you're watching on Conquered TV, you can see it a couple of times a week. But if you want to have access to it like whenever, you can get on my email list and you just go to Karen Kenney, KENNEY.com, KarenKenney.com/sign up, and you'll be able to like get all the news, right? So you'll get that on Thursdays. And then sometimes on Tuesdays, usually on Tuesdays, I also send out another email about like what I'm up to, the kind of happenings. Like sometimes I just send out a little love letter, right? Just saying like, hey, like today, I sent one out today, just talking to people about celebrating the small wins, you know? And that's, like I said, that's a whole other thing. So you can get on my email list and just kind of join the family. It'll be really fun. So thank you so much for tuning in. And I know I had mentioned a few episodes ago about maybe sharing a new way to support the show. A few people have reached out to me and asked me, they're like, what was that about? And I'm like, it's coming. I will talk about it a little bit more in the upcoming week. So I haven't forgotten to share. But just thank you for your curiosity and thank you for reaching out. And I just really super duper appreciate you being here. And as I always end every show, okay, wherever you go, and this is also, I'm like laughing, I'm thinking about that lady, because she was the exact opposite of what I was saying, right? Where that lady who yelled at me out her car window, but here's the deal. Wherever you go, may you leave the people, the place, the animals, the environment, and yourself better than how you first found them. Wherever you go, may you and your presence and your love be a blessing. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I really love spending some time together. Now, if you dig the show or know someone that could benefit from this episode, please share it with them and help me to spread the good word and the love. And if you want to be in the know about all of my upcoming shenanigans, head on over to KarenKenney.com/sign up and join my list. It'll be wicked fun to stay in touch. Bye!